योगेन उत्पादयामास
Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, but also begot five sons and his wife Archie, and these all sons were begotten according to his own desire. Prabhupada is a householder, Prithu Maharaj had five sons by his wife Archie, and all these sons were begotten as he desired them, and they were not born whimsically or by accident. How can one beget children according to one's desire? It's practically unknown in the present age. In this regard, the secret of success depends on the parents' acceptance of the various purgatory methods known as samskaras. The first samskara, Garbhadhan samskara, or child beginning samskara, is compulsory, especially for the higher caste, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, sex life, which is not against religious principles, is Krishna himself. And according to religious principles, when one wants to beget a child, he must perform the Garbhadhan samskara before having sex. The mental state of the father and mother before sex will certainly affect the mentality of the child to be begotten. A child who is begotten out of lust may not turn out as parents desire. As stated in the Shastra, Yatayoni or Yatabhijam. Yatayoni is the mother, Yatabhijam is the father. If the mental state of the parents is prepared before they have sex, a child which they will beget will certainly reflect their mental condition. It is therefore understood by the words Atma Samatanda, both Prithu Maharaj and Archie underwent the Garbhadhan purificatory process before begetting children, thus to beget all their sons according to the desires and purified mental states. Prithu Maharaj did not beget his children out of lust, nor was he attracted to his wife for such gratificatory purposes. He begot the children of Sigrihasta for the future administration of his government all over the world. After begetting five sons named Vichitasva, Duma, Rakesha, Haryaksha, Dravina and Rika, Prithu Maharaj continued to rule the planet. He accepted all the qualities of the deities who governed all other planets. Wherefore, each and every planet is a predominating deity. It is understood from Bhagavad Gita that in the sun there is a predominating deity named Vivasvam. Similarly, there is a predominating deity of the moon and of the various planets. Actually, the predominating deities of all the other planets are descendants from the predominating deities of the sun and moon. On this planet Earth, there are two Kshatriya dynasties, and one comes from predominating deity of the sun, the other from the predominating deity of the moon. These dynasties are known as Suryavamsa and Chandravamsa, respectively. When monarchy existed on this planet, the chief member was one of the members of the Suryavamsa, and subordinate kings belonged to the Chandravamsa. However, Maharaj Prithu was so powerful, he could exhibit all the qualities of the predominating deities of other planets. In the modern age, people from Earth have tried to go to the moon, but they have not been able to find anyone there. What to speak of meeting the moon's predominating deity? The Vedic literature, however, repeatedly informs us that the moon is full of highly elevated inhabitants who are counted among the demigods. We are therefore always in doubt about what kind of moon adventure the modern scientists of this planet Earth have undertaken. Since Pritu Maharaj is a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, and he wanted to perfect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens according to their various desires. Therefore, Pritu Maharaj used to please them in all respects by his words, mentality, works, and gentle behavior. Wherefore, as will be explained in the next verse, Pritu Maharaj used to please all kinds of citizens by his extraordinary capacity to understand the mentality of others. Indeed, his dealings were so perfect that every one of the citizens was very much satisfied and lived in complete peace. The word Pachutapaka is significant in this verse, for Pritu Maharaj used to rule this planet as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew he was a representative of the Lord, and the Lord's creation must be protected intelligently. Atheists cannot understand the purpose behind the creation. Although this material world is condemned when it is compared to the spiritual world, there is still some purpose behind it. Modern scientists and philosophers cannot understand that purpose, nor do they believe in the existence of the Creator. They try to establish everything by the so-called scientific research, but they do not center anything around the Supreme Creator. A devotee, however, can understand the purpose of the creation, which is to give facilities to the individual living entities who want to lord over material nature. The ruler of this planet should therefore know that all the inhabitants, especially human beings, have come to this material world for sense enjoyment. It is therefore the duty of the ruler to satisfy them in the sense enjoyment, as well as to elevate them to Krishna consciousness so they can all ultimately return home to Godhead. With this idea in mind, the king or government head should rule the world. In this way, everyone will be satisfied. How can this be accomplished? There are many examples, like Pritu Maharaj in the history of his regency on this planet, as elaborately described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in this fallen age, if rulers, governors, and presidents take advantage of Pritu Maharaj's example, there will certainly be a reign of peace and prosperity throughout the world. Maharaj Pritu became a celebrated a king as Somaraj, the king of the moon. He was also powerful and exacting, just like the sun god, who distributes heat and light in the same night spans all the planetary waters. Purport in this verse, Maharaj Pritu was compared to the kings of the moon and sun. The king of the moon and the king of the sun serve as examples of how the Lord desires the universe to be ruled. The sun distributes heat and light and at the same time extracts water from all planets. The moon is very pleasing at night, and when one becomes fatigued after a day's labor in the sun, he can enjoy the moonshine. Like the sun god, Pritu Maharaj distributed his heat and light to give protection to his kingdom, for without heat and light, no one can exist. Similarly, Pritu Maharaj exacted taxes and gave such strong orders to the citizens and government that no one had the power to disobey him. On the other hand, he pleased everyone, just like the moonshine. Both the sun and moon have particular influences by which they maintain order in the universe, and modern scientists and philosophers should become familiar with the Supreme Lord's perfect plan for universal maintenance. In situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Pritu Maharaj not only performed all creative activities, but also begot 5 sons by his wife Archie, and all sons were begotten according to his own desire. After beginning 5 sons of Indivis, Dasva, Dumakesha, Aryaksha, Dravina, and Rikka, Pritu Maharaj continued to rule the planet and accepted all the qualities of the deities who govern all other planets. Since Pritu Maharaj was a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, he wanted to protect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens according to their various desires. Therefore, Pritu Maharaj used to please them in all respects by his words, mentality, works, and gentle behavior. Pritu Maharaj became a celebrated king as Somaraj, the king of the moon, who is also powerful and exacting, just like the sun god, who distributes heat and light at the same time expands all the planetary waters. So this is a summary of the activities of Pritu Maharaj, who acted as an ideal king. After the very disastrous rule of King Vena, who was technically his father. So he belonged to the same dynasty, and of course King Vena's dynasty ultimately was coming from Swayambhuva Manu, but somehow he came out in a very unfortunate way. So therefore he was killed and Prithu Maharaj became the king. And of course he's also a Shaktivesh avatar. So he ruled in an ideal way. The Manus established kings, and the kings, as is said here, must satisfy the people. And what do people want? They want sense gratification. They want to enjoy the material world. So he supplies that. But we also know that the goal of the Vedas is not sense gratification, but to go beyond that, to elevate oneself and go to the spiritual world and serve the Lord. So therefore, the king has to combine these two things. He has to satisfy the people and give them all the food and protection they need. At the same time, he also has to provide them for spiritual life. So if one does that, then this is the first step in civilization. If the king doesn't do that, then it is not considered a civilization at all. So we have this Daiva Varnashram, in which the kings strive to follow the scriptural prescriptions for taking care of the people. So that means physical taking care and spiritual taking care. Of the two, of course, there's a predominance of physically taking care of them, because most of the people aren't interested in spiritual life. So therefore, first it takes care of their material needs. But in the process of doing that, even though they are unaware of it, they are actually spiritually advancing. So this is a little trick to get them into advancing spiritual life. So therefore this system of karma yoga is a little indirect, but nevertheless it has the advantage of engaging everybody productively and gradually raising their consciousness from tamagun toward sattvagun. Then there are direct processes, that is jnana, yoga and bhakti. These are directly spiritual because one can get liberation or one can go to the spiritual world and serve the Lord through these processes. So these of course are for more select people. You have to be in sattva-guna to do jnana and yoga. And therefore the brahmanas are those who can study the Vedas in detail and take sannyas. And they become qualified for liberation that way. Whereas kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sudras cannot take sannyas. They can renounce to some degree and take vanaprastha in the case of the vaishyas and kshatriyas. Sudras cannot do anything. They simply have grihastha life. So, one has to come up to a certain level before one can practice those different systems. However, as society progresses from Treta Yuga to Dwarpa Yuga to Kali Yuga, this whole system of kings gets corrupted, and that's described later in the Bhagavatam, how as Kali Yuga started, gradually the kings were not the kings coming down from Manu at all, but some sudra assassinates the king and he becomes the king, and then somebody assassinates him and he becomes the king. So the line of kings after Dwarpa Yuga is not very bona fide, it's not very authorized at all. Consequently, the whole system is corrupted. So there's no proper king, and therefore the system doesn't work properly anymore. So, what is the thing? What do? We can find another king. I look around for the king. Of course, there is a king, but he's hiding up in the Himalaya someplace, and he'll come back and end of Kali Yuga, when Satya Yuga begins, and then they will install Manu's progeny again, and they will start their dynasties again. Until then, no king, no real king. So very difficult to establish this Varnashram system again. Okay? So therefore, we have to expect in Kali Yuga that people will not be protected properly. They will not get things properly. The food and the protection will not be there in a proper way because they have no proper kings. And that government also will not provide for any spiritual upliftment. So they will try to give the material things at least. But spiritual things, nothing. So, fortunately, the Lord also makes arrangements for Kali Yuga. What is the process in Kali Yuga? Process is Nam Sankirtan. So, in Kali Yuga, regardless of the situation, this process can be practiced. So impure or pure, whatever, doesn't matter. Whatever the situation is, one can practice bhakti. And whether one is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, or not even in the Varnashram system, one can practice this process. So, therefore, the solution for everybody's problem in Kali Yuga is ultimately to take shelter of bhakti, and particularly chanting the holy name. That is the final solution. These descriptions are given because they are outlining the progress from Swayambhuva Manu all the way through up into Vaivaswata Manvantara and all the different kings, the history of the kings, etc. And they were doing their duties properly of instituting Karma Yoga. But we also know the purpose of the Bhagavatam is not that at all. The purpose of the Bhagavatam is to glorify Krishna. That's what makes Bhagavatam special. And not only glorify Krishna, point out this is the process for delivering people in Kali Yuga. To hear the pastimes of Krishna, to chant the names of Krishna. So this is the main process in Kali Yuga. Everything else is secondary to that. So we can, it is a little bit of a problem if we try to institute a Varnashram system now. We don't have the king. How do we do it? So very, very difficult to institute these things. You need a very, very strong king. We see even when Parikshit was ruling. That was just the beginning of Kali Yuga after Krishna disappeared. It hadn't really begun because Parikshit Maharaj was there. Still, there was opposition. Kali Prasanapai appeared, dressed up as a king, and he was smashing the legs of the bull. So, since after Parikshit disappeared and others came, then Kali Yuga manifested everywhere. So therefore the whole system fell apart after that. So that is a general tendency in Kali Yuga, a disruption of the whole system. And of course, now and then remnants may appear, but generally the progress is more and more destruction as one progresses in Kali Yuga. So very, very difficult to institute that system. But even if the system doesn't exist, one can practice bhakti. So that is the solution in Kali Yuga, and particularly the chanting of the name. So that is what Lord Chaitanya has given. He said, chant the name, chant the name, chant the name. Nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. Not karma yoga, not jnana yoga, not sangha yoga, but bhakti yoga. That's all. Yeah, personification of Kali. So he was destroyed by Krishna. So Kali Yuga couldn't enter when Krishna was around.
But Krishna was there.
No, he killed him. Killed Duryodhana. Bhima killed him, so no Kali Yuga. Tried to appear, but didn't. Well, there I know in the scriptures, some say just the first time. That is one prescription. Others say every time. So there's different opinions on that. Yeah. I suppose so, because of Sankirtan. So in other words, it's very difficult to do the samskaras as outlined in the scripture. It's a little difficult. So therefore he recommended that.
Yeah. following the governor of Bhakti. Is this what you call it?
What? Do Bhakti. That's why he says do Bhakti. Chant Hare Krishna. That's all.
Jantrasi Shishimad Bhagavan ki
jai,
Vijayananda Maharaj ki
jai,
Jumayana Shishimad Prabhupada ki jai, Bangostraman ki jai.
Thank you.